भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिके। Text 47. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha.
Shri Kashyapa Uvacha.
Kashyapa Muni said, "My dear wife, to follow this vow, do not be violent or cause harm to anyone. Do not curse anyone and do not speak lies. Do not cut your nails and hairs, and do not touch impure things like skulls and bones." Please repeat after me. Kashyapa Muni said,
"My dear wife,
to follow this vow,
do not be violent
or cause harm to anyone. Do not curse anyone. And do not speak lies. Do not cut your nails and hair. And do not touch impure things like skulls and bones." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kashyapa Muni's first instruction to his wife was not to be envious. The general tendency of anyone within this material world is to be envious, and therefore to become a Krishna conscious person, one must curb this tendency, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Paramo Nirmatsaranam. A Krishna conscious person is always non-envious. Whereas others are always envious. Thus, Kashyapa Muni's instruction that his wife not be envious indicates that this is the first stage of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Kashyapa Muni desired to train his wife to be a Krishna conscious person. For this would suffice to protect both her and Indra. Kashyapa Muni said, "My dear wife, to follow this vow, do not be violent or cause harm to anyone. Do not curse anyone and do not speak lies. Do not cut your nails and hair and do not touch impure things like skulls and bone." So, Diti wanted a son to kill Indra, and she approached her husband Kashyapa Muni, who was a great sage, a very learned person, and a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kashyapa Muni was such an advanced devotee, such a pure devotee, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead came as his son. So we can see that he must have been a very, very elevated devotee. And an elevated devotee, an advanced devotee, knows how to direct everyone on the path of Krishna consciousness. So a devotee is a preacher. And preacher means a person who knows how to lead others into the path of Krishna consciousness, or becoming, he can lead others to become devotees. And preaching is actually a very, very refined art, very sublime art, by which one gradually, by which the preacher gradually brings one to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he has to present the Krishna consciousness or the means to approach Krishna in such a way that people do not become averse to it and go away. So Diti was very angry, she became very envious, and she became very revengeful. So much so that she wanted to kill the son of her own husband and her sister. So not only Indra was Diti's stepson, but Diti and Aditi were also sisters. So he was actually her sister's son. But envy makes people so blind that they do not hesitate to go to any extent to take revenge. And she wanted to kill Indra. And Kashyap Muni could recognize her condition. But at that time, Kashyap Muni just did not give him some direct advice to become Krishna conscious. So very expertly, just as an expert preacher, he just presented it in a very, very subtle way. If he started giving Diti good advice at that time, that how she should not become envious and should not want to harm anyone or shouldn't become violent and become a devotee of Krishna and chant Hare Krishna, then probably Diti wouldn't listen. So Kashyap knew that, so Kashyap presented it in such a way that Diti would gradually become purified. And that's what Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, that Krishna consciousness is the solution to all problems. Actually, by becoming Krishna conscious, both Diti would be saved and Indra would be saved. But then it lies upon the preacher how he is going to make him Krishna conscious. So Kashyap Muni very intelligently told Diti, okay, if that is your desire, you can fulfill your desire. But to fulfill your desire, you have to do these things. You have to become non-envious. You should not harm anyone. You should not curse anyone. And you do not speak lies. And you should not, another condition was that she should not cut her nails and hairs, and she should not touch any impure things. So it seemed like Kashyap Muni was giving her the direction so that she can fulfill her desire of getting a son who would kill, who would be able to kill Indra. But in the process of doing that, because she became pure, that she actually conceived the child, because of the pure practice, she conceived the child who also was pure. When the mother is pure, then the child also becomes pure. This way, it is a great responsibility of the parents, especially the mother, to be very, very pure. It is due to a bad mother that bad children are born. Prabhupada is mentioning in the context of Bhishma Dev's instruction to Yudhishthira Maharaj that how the worst thing that can happen to the human society is that women become unchaste. When women become unchaste, then they create havoc in the society by producing unwanted population. An unchaste woman gives birth to an unwanted child. Because she is indiscriminately associating with women, associating with men, and she is just conceiving children without any purificatory act, or the man that she is attracting also are just being attracted out of lust, and as a result of that, the children that are produced become a big burden to the society. Arjuna also said the same thing to Krishna just before the battle of Kurukshetra, that when the elder members of the society will be dead, then there won't be anyone to give protection to the women. And strishu dushtashu varshneya jayate varna shankara. And when a woman becomes wicked or unchaste, then there will be varna shankara. Varna shankara means unwanted progeny. Children that will be born, they are not good souls. And as a result of that, the whole society will be destroyed. So, in the Vedic culture, that's why the chastity of women was given a very important place, or chastity of a woman was considered to be one of the most important things for a woman. Another case, Srila Prabhupada is actually mentioning that how the women are very powerful. Women are actually more powerful than men. And Prabhupada gave the example that Julius Caesar, who was such a great warrior, great, very powerful hero, but Julius Caesar was controlled by Cleopatra. So such a big person was actually controlled by a woman. So woman is more powerful than men. Actually man may be physically more powerful, but the women have another kind of shakti by which they can control men. But then Prabhupada is saying, but a woman is controlled by bashfulness. Shy. Woman is shy. And that is, therefore, the bashfulness or being shy is the most beautiful ornament for a woman. And due to being shy, a woman is naturally chaste. So a chaste woman becomes a real asset to the society, because then she gives birth to very good and noble children. And these good and noble children can guide the society, guide the human society in a perfect way. So that's what Kashyap Muni is actually telling Diti. In this context, we can also remember that how Diti actually became unchaste. And as a result of that, she gave birth to two great demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Now one may question, that how did Diti become unchaste? She actually did not associate with any other man besides her husband. But even when a woman becomes lusty and unites, or both man and woman, when they kind of unite with each other just out of lusty desire, then that is also unchaste. According to the Vedic understanding, that husband and wife's relationship also must be based on the scriptural injunction. And that is, sex life must be only for the sake of procreation. A good children, and that procreation should be guided by the Vedic injunction. that is, which begins with Garbhadhan Samskar. Both husband and wife purify themselves in order to invite an elevated soul. And they unite at an auspicious moment, at an auspicious hour, according to the Vedic calculation, and as a result of that, an auspicious soul, an elevated personality, take birth. Because we can also see that a soul which is advanced or which is elevated is not going to come to a person who is lusty. Like we can see, like devotees don't want to associate with people those who are degraded and fallen. Devotees avoid them. So when man and woman are copulating just out of lust, how can a good soul, advanced soul, come to them? On the other hand, when when a good soul sees that a man and woman are very pious and they are actually uniting without lust, dharmo aviruddha kamo. Aviruddha kamo means dharma aviruddha kamo means the lust which is not opposed to religious principles. So that is Krishna himself. When a husband and wife unite for the sake of procreation without being affected by lust, but simply for the sake of religious establishment of religious principles on this world, then that is non-different from Krishna. In that womb, that womb receives Krishna's blessing, or one can say that that womb is Krishna himself. And in that womb, the personality who is born is a devotee of Krishna. And sometimes in a womb like that, Krishna himself appears. Just in case of Devaki and Vasudev, just in case of Kashyap and Aditi. So, in this way we can see that how important it is for the human advancement or progress of human society that men and women become chaste, especially women become chaste. Actually, if the woman is chaste, then man will automatically become tame. Men are becoming wild because the women in this world today are unchaste. And as a result of that, they are simply alluring men, they are simply provoking men with lusty desires, and as a result of that, the whole society is going to hell. But when a woman is chaste, a man will not dare even to approach her. We have seen in the Vedic scriptures there are many such examples that when some lusty man approached a chaste woman, he became destroyed. And like the cause of Ravan's destruction was because he molested one chaste woman, and as a result of that he was finished. The Kuru dynasty was destroyed because they insulted Draupadi, another chaste lady. So, man must be heroic and a woman must be chaste. And these are the two essential qualities. And a heroic man is a chivalrous person who is naturally respectful towards women, and the women command respect of men due to their chaste behavior. So, Kashyap Muni just decided to make Aditi into a chaste lady. And in order to make her chaste, he gave her this instruction, that do not become envious. Like, that's the first qualification for spiritual advancement. First qualification and the most essential qualification. Why? Because it is due to our due to our envy that we have fallen into this material nature. So if we want to get out of the material nature and go back to the spiritual nature, then we must become non-envious. So Krishna instructed that also time and time again, that how the living entities must become envious, which means ultimately that must become surrendered to Krishna. That the way one can, the only way to become non-envious is by being surrendered to Krishna. Because envy stems from the competitive attitude towards Krishna. When we want to compete with Krishna, when we want to become like Krishna, that is actually envy. When we become envious, we simply want to imitate Krishna. Krishna is the Lord, I want to become Lord. Why should Krishna be the supreme proprietor and supreme enjoyer? I will become the supreme enjoyer. So that is what envy is. And then that attitude, that tendency reflects upon anyone else or everyone else. Like then it is not only that why Krishna has everything, not me. Then one begins to also think why others have everything, not me. So that is what envy actually means. That is being unhappy in others' prosperity. Envy means to be unhappy at others' prosperity and being happy in one's own prosperity. So that is what envy is. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur very aptly described envy as being happy at others' distress and being sad in others' happiness. When others are suffering, then we become very happy. How nice that he is suffering. But when others are happy or others are prosperous, then we begin to become very sad. Why him? Why he has everything and not me? Why he is glorified? Why he is enjoying, not me? So that tendency is actually the cause of our material bondage or cause of our fall down in the material nature. And this envy, we can see, is actually the cause of false ego. That we become, because we want to compete with Krishna or imitate Krishna, then we develop our false ego. And false ego means that I am the Lord and Master, I am the Supreme Enjoyer. Therefore, in order to get rid of our false ego, it is essential that we give up our envious attitude. And as long as we have our envious attitude, we'll never be able to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the instruction has been given, dharma prudhito koitavo atro paramo nirmat saranam satam. That when one becomes non-envious, nirmat saranam, then only he becomes satam, he becomes a sadhu. Sadhu means a saintly person. Now, how does one become a saint? What is the qualification of becoming a saint? That is, when he is non-envious. Nirmat sarana. When one becomes non-envious, then only he becomes a saint. Now, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's definition, non-envious means when one becomes happy in others' happiness and when one becomes sad seeing others in distress. So that is the meaning of benevolent person. A person who is the well-wishing friends of others, he is non-envious. When he is happy because the others are happy. When he sees that others are making spiritual progress, then he becomes very happy. And when he sees that others are suffering in this material nature, he becomes very sad. And out of this mood that a devotee preaches. Why does a devotee preach? A devotee preaches because he wants to deliver people from their miserable condition. And he wants to make everyone happy. Let everyone become happy. Why did Prabhupada go to America at the age of 70? After undergoing so much difficulty. Prabhupada is saying that he of course said that not that he would be happy, but he said that my spiritual master will be happy to see that people all over the world are very happy. So my spiritual master's happiness is relative to the happiness of the people in general. So when everyone is happy, then my spiritual master is happy. And when my spiritual master is happy, and my only business is to make my spiritual master happy. So this is how a Vaishnava takes up the preaching spirit. He develops the preaching spirit because he knows that his spiritual master will be happy if he sees that others are happy. So a Vaishnava's desire is only to please his spiritual master. So Prabhupada felt that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be happy to see that the people all over the world are becoming happy. Therefore he went to America at a very old age to give them Krishna consciousness and make them happy. In the same way, we like to distribute books because that will please Srila Prabhupada. So a disciple's only business is to please the spiritual master. So when Prabhupada sees that the books are translated, books are printed, books are distributed, Prabhupada becomes happy. And that is, Prabhupada is so emphatic about book distribution because that is the way to make devotees. That's the best way to make devotees. That's the best way to preach. Preaching is the mission, and books are the basis. And preaching is the mission for what? For making devotees all over the world. So in this way, a devotee is always concerned about others, suffering, living entities. So nirmatsar means to become concerned about others suffering and try to deliver them from their miserable existence. And that is possible only when one gives up the enjoying mood. Dharma prajjito koitavo atra. When one gives up all kinds of activities that are actually meant for enjoyment, personal sense gratification. So that activities must be given up in order to become non-envious. And a person who has given up the tendency to enjoy or tendency for sense gratification, then only he is non-envious. And why it is so important to become non-envious, that has been explained in the next line. Vedya vastava matra vastu shivadam taputrayanam mulana. Then only, that is when one becomes non-envious, when one becomes pure in heart, when one becomes a saintly devotee of the Lord, pure devotee of the Lord, then only he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, will be possible only when our hearts are purified by being free from envy. And then, when one gets to know Krishna, that brings all auspiciousness, shivadam, and taputrayam mulanam. And that knowledge about Krishna delivers one from threefold miseries. Miseries caused by the body and mind, misery is caused by other living entities and misery is caused by demigods. So when one becomes Krishna conscious, then automatically he becomes free from misery. And Rupa Goswami said the same thing in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that as soon as one becomes a devotee, he immediately becomes free from suffering. Devotion to Krishna, devotional service to Krishna frees one from klesha, the material suffering, and shubhada brings all auspiciousness. So same thing has been presented here also in Srimad Bhagavatam through this expression Shivadam Tapotrayam Unmulanam. Now Shivadam and Shubhadam is actually the same, has the same meaning. Though two different words has the same meaning. That's all auspiciousness. And Tapotrayam Unmulanam and Kleshagni. Tap means suffering. Tap, one meaning of tap is heat. So when one is in extreme heat, then he suffers. So material sufferings are like being in extreme heat. And there are three types of tapotrayam, three types of misery. And in one word they are called klesha. So kleshagni and tapotrayam unmulanam is the same meaning. Kleshagni means the killer or destroyer of the kleshas. And unmulanam means uproot. So threefold miseries are uprooted. So in this way it is the same meaning. In this way we can see that Krishna consciousness is not a matter of speculation. Krishna consciousness is not speculation. Krishna consciousness is a science. And that science has been most wonderfully presented by the authorities of the Vedic wisdom. And they are saying the same thing time and time again. Like yesterday when I was speaking on the philosophy of Mahabharata, I was at the back of my mind I was thinking that how it is the same philosophy as the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the same feeling, same philosophy as of Vedanta Sutra. So it's non-different, but only the presentation has been made according to the ability of the reader's understanding. Like Mahabharata is meant for one class of people. So it has been presented in a certain way, but it is saying the same thing. Then Vedanta Sutra is saying the same thing, but presented for another kind of people. Like here we can see that Mahabharata is very vast. It's very vast literature. So this vast Mahabharata, very vast literature Mahabharata is actually meant for less intelligent people. So in this way we can see that for a less intelligent people an elaborate description is, elaborate presentation is necessary. But a more intelligent person, for more intelligent people, there is Vedanta Sutra, which is just a very simple few, just a few verses. And that is what Vedanta Sutra is. So for less intelligent people we need elaborate description and more intelligent people we need just a few words to explain the thing. But what has been presented, the sum and substance of Mahabharata and sum and substance of Vedanta Sutra is the same. And this Vedanta Sutra has been elaborated again in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the final presentation of the Vedic wisdom. The Vedanta Sutra was just a summary of the Vedas, Vedanta philosophy. And that philosophy has been elaborated directly. Mahabharata actually has a lot of, lot of sugar coating in it. Like, sometimes a child doesn't want to take the medicine, right? So the medicine is then given with a sugar coating and the child is made to believe that it's actually a sweet. And the child takes the medicine thinking that it's a sweet, but the medicine works and he gets cured of his disease. Now Mahabharata is something like that. It's presented as if it's a sugar-coated, simply wonderful. But inside, there is pure Krishna consciousness. But if pure Krishna consciousness was given in that way, then people would have said, okay, that's not for me. Like I'm sure many of you have noticed while preaching to the Indians, they have a tendency to say, well, not now. I will become a devotee, but afterwards. Now let me take care of my duties, my household responsibilities and my enjoying propensities and so on and so forth. So Mahabharata is actually presented for that kind of people. Okay, you want to enjoy? Okay, here is a real enjoyment. See how they enjoy. But ultimately what is presented? That if you really want to enjoy, then become a devotee of Krishna. So, shraddha shabde vishwas kahe shudrira nishchay krishne bhakti koile sarva karma krita hai. Devotion or shraddha means to have that unflinching faith that if we just serve Krishna, then everything will be achieved. Everything will be accomplished. So that is how it has been presented throughout the Vedas. Like in Mahabharata, there is a lot of stories, and these stories are not concocted stories, they are his stories. There are two types of stories. One is fictitious stories, and the other is his stories. The authentic stories, the activities of the Lord and his devotees, the real stories. But within these stories, the Mahabharata, generally people like to hear stories, especially less intelligent people. A child just wants to listen to the stories. And for them, Mahabharata is there. Less intelligent people are interested in listening to the stories, and the stories are given. But within the stories, there are gems of instruction. Like in Mahabharata we find Bhagavad Gita, in Mahabharata we find Bhishma Dev's instructions, in Mahabharata we find different sages giving their, imparting the wisdom to different kings. Narad Muni came many times and gave instructions. So in this way, through the stories, the pure Krishna conscious instructions have been given for the people in general. But the ultimate goal is to become a devotee of Krishna. And when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then his life becomes perfect. Then he, as I said, like we can, the first thing that happens to a person when he accepts Krishna consciousness, he becomes free from distresses. He becomes free from suffering. And his life becomes auspicious. Only good things happen to him when one becomes a devotee. And no bad things happen to him. The sum and substance is that. When one becomes a devotee, nothing bad happens to him and all good things happen to him. Now, if one wants to really be joyful, really be happy, that is the meaning. Like, we want to be happy by experiencing good things, and we become sad or we suffer because of the bad things. So if no bad things happen to us and all good things happen to us, then our life automatically will become very joyful. And how can we have that? Simply by becoming Krishna conscious. If we become Krishna conscious, then that is just the preliminary effect. And what to speak of the latter effects? And the other effects are, ultimately Krishna consciousness gives us transcendental, uninterrupted transcendental bliss, and Krishna consciousness attracts Krishna. And we get Krishna by this devotional service of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
Maharaj, you were saying that the mind is controlled by women
because they are so
lusty. Because they are so lusty.
No, I didn't say that. I said that they have some kind of shakti. That is it's because, you see, like, lust is, you know, the tendency to, tendency for sense enjoyment.
And the understanding is that the tendency for sense enjoyment in a woman is much stronger than...
So I don't understand why they say
I don't know. We have to also understand that often the evidences, the things that are related to the in the scriptures are relating to different age.
And that, you know, like, things that...
Mainly because Mahabharata, the presentation of Mahabharata is so roundabout, it's not direct presentation, that for less intelligent people it won't be able to... Less intelligent people won't be able to understand it. Because, you know, there is so much sweet instead of medicine in Mahabharata that people may just take the sweets and they become even more sick. Right? Therefore, the Amal Puran, the straight medicine has been given in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. But this medicine is presented in such a way that it is nectarian. It doesn't taste like a medicine. It's not bitter. And why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented Krishna consciousness in such a sublime... Well, if austerity is a sense enjoyment, then let's all have that enjoyment. Actually, austerity means to curb the tendency for sense enjoyment. You understand? Karm, to stop. To prevent ourselves from going for sense enjoyment is called austerity. It's just the opposite to sense enjoyment. Tapasya.
And you said that if you surrender to Krishna, we get automatically free from these types of misery, and also we hear that devotees automatically develop the qualities of
the Vaishnava.
So how can I understand this
automatically? Automatically means without any other effort. Right? You see, when one becomes Krishna conscious, then just by doing that, one becomes free from misery. Right? Like, by taking the medicine, you automatically become cured. Right? What does it mean? It means that you don't have to make some other arrangements to become cured. Just by doing that, you'll become cured. So when it is said that by automatically, it means just by practicing that process, one will become free or cure. Huh? Oh, I see. Okay.
In regard to this austerity, you know, daily life should be always just, you know, rigorously frustrate the senses. For example, not eating, you know, all day. It's easy to go on how it is.
What was the first part of the question?
In regard to this austerity.
Yeah, okay.
Is it better to rigorously frustrate the senses all the time, even if we don't have any place?
You see, austerity should be performed according to our ability to perform it. That means we should not stretch it beyond our limit. In this respect, an example has been given, is that you take an elastic, like it stretches, but if you stretch it beyond its elastic limit, then what happens? It snaps. Similarly, when we practice austerities, that is controlling our senses, we should not stretch it beyond our limit, because in that case it may snap. Therefore, the instruction has been given that the Krishna consciousness must be performed with an easy, without an over endeavor, right? Like, as you were saying, the whether one should stop eating or stop breathing. Now, for the people of this age, it's not possible. Therefore, Prabhupada actually gave the simple principle of observing austerity, that is through the following the four regulative principles. Prabhupada said austerity in this age is to follow the four regulative principles. And if one can just follow these four regulative principles, you know, he is performing austerity. We don't have to go beyond that. As far as eating is concerned, our austerity is to take only Krishna prasad. Right? That is an austerity. But by taking Krishna prasad, our tongue is satisfied and our soul is pacified. So we have a positive way of performing austerity. And that is what is called Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uccate. Doing everything in Krishna consciousness is called renunciation in attachment, or renunciation in Krishna consciousness. Well, for the sake of preaching, a woman may go out and distribute books or meet people out in the streets, but that doesn't mean that they are not being shy, or they are not, you know, like, it's something like a teacher. A teacher takes up a responsibility. A lady teacher, she is teaching her children, right? But her approach to the children or to the students and a woman approaching a man are two different things. So in spite of being shy, a woman can be a preacher and a book distributor. Because she is doing it for the sake of delivering him or teaching him something higher. Now obviously there is a difference between a woman, an unchaste woman approaching a man on the street, and a devotee lady approaching a man on the street with books. So although she is distributing, she is shy. Her whole life is based on, centered around Krishna consciousness. And that naturally makes her shy.
You said that the best way to make devotees to book distribution. So if someone just likes to talk himself and not likes to distribute books, then that's the best way.
Well, even though we do direct preaching, but ultimately we go back to the books. Like the basis of the books, like we speak from the books, right? And then at the end we give them the books or ask them to read the books. So that's the meaning of how the books are the basis of our preaching. Like, why does one speak? To actually generate the faith in the books, in the person. Like at the end of the preaching, say we are cultivating some people, and at the end of our preaching, what do we tell them? Read Prabhupada's books, right? Or we give them Prabhupada's books. Or we tell them, why don't you come to a temple and buy some books? Okay, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada.